yes! We made it, buddy! Come on down, man!
We're doing this?
Yes!
Right now!
Right now, man! How are you, buddy?
I'm getting better. I'm
wow,
good.
Welcome to No BS with SB.
Lots of fun.
Kevin Gazer, guys, make some noise. You know, I'm so happy because first I see you're not dead.
I'm not dead, exactly.
Because you have an accident, we're going to talk about that. You know, this is my 8th year of comedy in English.
That goes fast.
Yes, 8th year in April.
I can't believe it. It goes too fast when I think about it.
I know, and the first 3 months of the 2012 years,
yeah,
I go at the Comedy Works and I dream about to go on stage. Because people don't realize that it's not because I was a French comic that I just translate my joke and I go right away in English. Look.
Sure.
It's another world, and you have to understand I did not speak English at the time.
Oh, I get it. That
so I go. So why I say that is because you're the first headliner I saw. Okay, in my career,
amazing
of fans of comedy, I was sitting in the back of the Comedy Works, drinking a pint of beer, and watching you, buddy.
And you're like, I can definitely do better than him.
No, man. Stop to do that. That's silly. You're amazing, by the way. But you know, now it's my podcast. I do, and you're here.
Yeah,
it's why life is amazing. Because if 8 years ago I was sitting with my beer. And I will know someday I'm going to interview this guy, this amazing guy with your baseball number. Remember the baseball number?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
I think it's one of the best.
You're leaving. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing everything, but you don't understand. The mic, the editing, the cut to be sure you're on the screen.
What does the sound guy do?
The sound guy?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What
he gets the coffee? Is that the sound guy? The video guy?
This is the owner, Bob.
He's the owner? Okay.
No, the sound guy is me.
Okay.
The light, it's me.
All right.
The video, it's
amazing.
So, but do you remember the first time we meet at the Comedy Works?
No.
You don't remember?
No. No, I do. I remember you well, of course. The early days of you doing your set, of course. It's impressive.
I was like, oh yeah, because 3 months sitting watching you, because you're always there. You're always hustling, you're always there.
You have to be there.
You
exactly. Always,
you are middle, headliner, spot, and I was like, wow. Do you remember this era?
2010 was probably my peak, sadly enough. Should I be even saying that? I don't know. But that was because, yeah, my son was born in 2006. And I pushed hard for another 4 years, but then I realized the comedy lifestyle is very, very hard. So you probably hit me right at the peak. I'd started headlining, yeah, right around then, 2010.
So why... When you are the best, you decide to slow down.
This business is crazy, right?
This business is crazy.
It's crazy. Yes. That's what it is.
But you knew already, no? When you realized that when? Because you said this business is crazy. Is it when you realize that no matter what you're gonna do in this business, it's to restart all the time. You know, you don't flow after.
You should.
You don't arrive somewhere and you flow. You know what I mean?
You should be starting fresh. That's the thing. And that's why it's so difficult. Because it always has to stay fresh. Or it should stay fresh.
Yes.
Or you get tired with what you're doing.
Yes.
That's what makes it so difficult. And there's a combination of writing, stage presence. There's so many elements.
Promotion, production.
And that's probably the most important part. 50% that most people don't do any of. Me probably included. Not enough promotion. Those that really succeed are constantly promoting.
Why do you think I do a podcast?
Show business. So 50% show, 50% business.
Yes.
Maybe more business.
And you're right. Show. You're right because at the time, like 80s, 90s, 2000, like you said, 2000, 2010.
Well, 80s, I'm not that old.
No. But my point is you don't need to promote yourself because it's the responsibility of the club at the time.
Yes.
You know what? It's why people, because it's why the club sign you, you know? You can play there, you are with us, but I'm going to give you opportunity. Now, not anymore.
Right.
So maybe at the end, 2012, you realize that, and the club was going like that, if you remember.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That was an interesting time.
Jimbo was not open to promote on internet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you know the tough part of this business is, if you have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram, a TikTok, a LinkedIn, a YouTube channel.
You have a TikTok? A Twitter.
I have everything. Okay?
You have a TikTok?
No matter if you have that, doesn't mean you're going to succeed too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
no, you got to work at every one of those. So, now you're creating more work for yourself with every platform that you have.
Yeah, it's annoying for myself and for other maybe, but you're right. It's fun what you said. You said this job is crazy. How do you say that?
It's a crazy business.
Crazy business.
It's a crazy business because you have to constantly go, 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 develop your audience and always be on the move. You sacrifice everything for comedy. That's how I see it. And if you don't sacrifice everything for comedy, you're not going to excel at comedy. And I don't think I'm the first one to say it. Jay Leno was one of my favorite comics. Some of the biographies that he had done in the past.
Yeah.
You have to run until your heart explodes. He said it. You never stop. He's still in the clubs.
You have to stay on the line, he said. Yeah.
You have to constantly go, go, go.
Yeah, but
you never stop running.
Yeah, but the first 5 years, though.
Yeah.
It's the toughest one. The first year, the 5 years, it's so tough. And when you start to be good, you decide to quit. I don't understand. You know what I mean when I say quit, huh?
Sure. Are you talking about me specifically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I started, my start was actually in 1997. When you get into it, that's the first time I ever stepped on stage.
Wow.
Was 97, and I thought about doing comedy, and it was Marta Chavez, who you might know. You probably
shout out to Marta, yeah.
Hi, Marta. How are you? She probably doesn't even remember the story, but I ran into her in the lobby of the Comedy Nest.
Okay.
When the Comedy Nest was on Rene Levesque, downtown Montreal over here. And they were doing a contest for the new voices of Montreal comedy.
Wow.
And she said, you should go and enter this competition. I said, okay. I think I had done 2 or 3 open mic nights. And I remember going to showcase for Ernie Butler at the time.
Okay.
And Terry Simpson. I don't even think he's around anymore.
Terry Simpson.
So we had to show up on a Saturday morning in the dark club. There's just Ernie and Terry in the back of the room. And you had to go on stage and do your 5 minutes to nobody. And they said, yeah, this kid has potential. That kid sucks. This kid has potential.
Wow.
And I eventually made it in with another cast of comics. At the time, I think there was Andrew Albert. There was Ryan Wilner.
Andrew Albert, shout out.
Yeah, Andrew Albert.
He's gonna come.
He hasn't done it yet.
No,
I'm surprised. All right, well, he's got to do it.
He's busy.
He should bring you a gift. Some people bring you gifts.
Some people
bring gifts.
But yes, some people, because they watch my podcast broadly.
I watch every single episode. I never miss it.
Okay, so Andrew Albert. You said Andrew Albert.
Andrew Albert, Ryan Wilner, Matt Boylan. Does that ring a bell?
Matt Boylan. Hey, good. I invite Mike Boylan, but Mike Boylan is in the conspiracy theory now.
But they caught him. He's out. And now I think he's suing everybody.
What do you mean?
About the Flat Earth Society?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he said it's a joke. There's videos, hilarious videos.
What do you mean?
I shouldn't be promoting other people.
He said it's a joke?
He was making a joke of the whole thing, and now he's suing them for stealing his ideas that were jokes. That's my understanding.
Yeah, but it was already weird to say it's the Flat Earth.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't believe it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The Flat Earth, very interesting. First, okay, because everybody have an opinion of good or not. Is it flat or not? But my point is,
I don't think everybody does. I think a certain element believes.
You're telling me that for the last 10 years, he pretend the flat is Earth, and now he said it's a joke.
Yes,
and he sued the people who talk about the Flat Earth because of him.
They take his bits and they're doing his bits as being real, but he's saying it was all a bit. And that's what I love about comedy. He's one of my favorite guys to watch. He's a pure...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's why I want to invite him. Oh, yeah. Remember the One Sense? I don't know if you know his stuff, but he have a joke about the strawberry candy at One Sense.
Oh, I remember this vaguely. What is it?
I know, me too. I don't remember
it. Is it the gum or the jujube or the jujube?
The strawberry, the raspberry.
Swedish berry.
The raspberry 1 cent candy.
Sure.
You have a joke about the...
He's one guy I've seen do jokes once that kill that he never does again, at least that I know of.
I know. This is the guy who could be a superstar in English and French too.
Yeah.
Because he tried both and he always succeed, you know? So okay, Matt Boylan, you said Andrew
Albert. It was Andrew Albert, there was Matt Boylan, there was some people that just no longer were on the scene. Who was it? I don't want to spend too much time thinking, we're going to have dead airspace. But no, Ryan Wilner, there was...
Ryan Wilner.
James Mirovich.
We always say him at the Bell Centre at the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because you have the best seat ever. Every time I watch the Montreal Canadiens and they have a goal, they go in the crowd... We saw him.
Exactly. So we all did this show back in 1997. So we can fast forward to this great weekend. They brought it in as part of Just for Laughs at the Comedy Nest at that time. you're killing it. You have 5 minutes. You think you're doing pretty well. The shows went on. Everything went super fantastic. They brought it back for a second weekend at the end of the summer. There was only one comedy club in Montreal at that time. So after those shows were over, those 2 weekends, you feel pretty good about yourself. You start calling in for stage time. You get nothing. You're right back to where you started again. This was interesting. So I really wanted to develop, but I also got a full-time job at the same time at the Montreal Gazette. I just started. And I remember getting called by an agent. Barry Julian may have been in that show at the time as well. I'd have to recall. That seems to ring a bell. He might have been closing the shows because his career had taken off. Now with Colbert, right? He's the executive producer of the show.
Okay, wow.
Amazing. These guys were all coming up at that time. I got called to audition for this show. I want to say it was called Big Wolf on Campus. I think that's what it is. But I just started my full-time job at the Gazette. And I remember the agent was on saying, well, do you want to be a comedian or do you want to work full-time? I said, well, do I have the job or do I have to audition? A little bit cocky at the time. I said, well, I can't leave my job. I had a full-time job. I was working. Since that time, needless to say, I never went to the audition. I don't know what could have happened as a result. I started working full-time, and I kind of fell off the scene completely until 2001. But that was my initial start. It was 1997.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 4 years.
And then I dropped essentially 3, 4, 5 years where...
Oh, so 2001 to 2006, nothing.
No, 97, after that success of those shows, yeah. I did a few open mics. There was a couple of bar gigs around town. There was really only the 2 clubs in town.
Yeah.
And that was it. So I ended up working essentially full-time.
Alone?
Up until 2001, doing another job. I was selling advertising. I was working...
So when did you come back?
2001. I really consider my start date 2001.
So you, so you start in 1997.
I was writing.
But you stopped in 1997 too.
I stopped in 97. I did it for like a year.
Yeah. Because me, I start coming in French in 1998. And I stopped in 1998 because I was in Sherbrooke City.
Yeah.
The only reason why I did a show is because I produced the show.
Okay.
You know. So I did. We did a show, and
that's a good way to get stage time, by the way.
It was done.
Yeah.
So I wait until 2001. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Restart until like 2003.
So we start at the same time, 2001. You in French, me in English.
Yeah, 2001. But 2001 to 2001. I got an opportunity to do the first act of a big star.
Yeah.
But he bankrupt. So I never get paid.
Oh, he never paid you?
No.
What's his name?
Nobody cares.
I care.
JC Lozon. Shout out to JC Lozon.
You don't have to do that.
It's late. Okay. No BS.
I know. No BS.
So 2001, I was supposed to do 30 shows.
Okay.
I think I did 20 of 30, or maybe I did all of them. Because I didn't know I would not get paid, or anyway I was there, but it was a sad time, you know.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
Comedy it's already tough, so, you know. I was DJ at the time in the club.
Okay.
And I leave this job to this amazing opportunity, though. Okay.
Comedy.
The 30 show.
Okay. Oh, the two little tour. Okay. Yeah.
No, it was not a tour. Okay. It was the same show.
Yeah.
At the in the theater. In the 15 North, là.
Okay, yeah.
Saint Sauveur.
Yeah.
Sainte-Marguerite.
Saint-Agathe.
Laurentide.
All right.
It was 30 shows there. So I did not make money. So I came. I go back DJ.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So people say, oh, you started, you have a 20 year experience. No, I see. You know what I mean? Me in French, when I said in French, professionally,
yeah.
I start in 2008, professionally. Okay. Yeah. It's mean like I said, now fuck off,
yeah.
I jump no matter what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right, of course.
Because 2001, nothing happened.
Yeah.
I stopped. No, 2003, I came back. I stopped because I have did four years in television.
Right.
Commercial, a reporter.
You did a report about
yeah,
Patterson.
Yeah, I was at the CBC in French.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, okay. Like 2003 to 2007. And
yeah.
After that, I was tired, so I moved to Montreal full-time.
Oh, this was in Sherbrooke?
Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Yeah. Sherbrooke, no opportunity in comedy, you know?
No, or reporting, apparently.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know? People recognize me at Tim Horton, but sure. After that, you know?
That's just because you go often, not because
yeah.
of your TV.
2008.
Work.
2008 to 2012, 2009, 2010, okay. And now I said, you know what? I jump in English.
Right.
So I jump in English and I meet you because...
Wow, that's... Yeah, so I was, I mean, right at the top at that point. I consider comedically my writing was reaching a peak around that point.
I was...
At the time.
Yeah, but...
Because for myself, it was 2001 to 2006 that I really started to develop and get a lot of stage time because we had three clubs.
Yes.
We had no satellite rooms around the city.
Which club? It was the Nest, the Works.
And the Comedy Zone.
The Paul Ronca.
Paul Ronca's Comedy
Shout
Zone.
Shout out to Paul Ronca. Love
exactly,
you, buddy.
Exactly.
What a great man.
Absolutely.
Exactly, my point. It's funny you say that because when I said 2003.
Yeah.
I play like I will say 100 times because they have a night in French.
The Wednesday. Exactly.
Yes, I was there all the time.
What was that called again? It had a name. It used to always be packed.
The
Mercredi something.
Ah, les Mercredi. Oh, it's a good question.
Okay, whatever it
was. It was Jean Girardeau.
Yeah.
And the host was Michel Sigouin.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, it's far because struggle does or take a break doesn't mean you quit. Sometimes right. life,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I start a band in 1998 in Sherbrooke. When I say a band, we are three.
Yeah.
You know, like in a band, because in French it was like the tendency, like.
Sure.
Where the personage,
yeah.
character, you know.
What did you play, violin? Or
I play a gay guy in the army.
Okay.
And
so you're just being yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, perfect.
And a moron rich kid.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
So two like me.
Okay. Perfect.
You know, everybody starts somewhere. Okay. Uh-huh. So, but my point is, 2003, okay, for me was an opportunity because, like you said, 2003, nothing in French in
right.
Montreal.
Okay.
Nothing.
There were some small rooms. No, I remember doing some open mic in music and comedy in French.
Exactly my point. Nothing.
No, I don't know what it was. Anyway,
comedy.
Yeah.
Now, we have the opportunity, French people, okay, to do show in a real comedy club.
Right.
Because you don't understand because you live in English.
Yeah.
But for us, a comedy club at that time still impressed me, but
I never understood why there wasn't one.
It was something. It's something.
Yeah.
Because when I go inside, I saw Jim Carrey, you know, I saw all the big names because you put some picture, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, I'm here. Because I always dream to do comedy in English. Impossible to do that because I still don't do French comedy, so
right.
I will not start to do in English and I don't speak in English, you know what I mean? So 2003 was the first, I have goosebumps to talk about that because the comedy zone was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, small candle, real stage time,
yeah.
the small shitty corridor.
It's what you see.
Waiting your turn to
it's
die.
It's like a comedy club on television, oui. That's what you see, exactly.
They give you $10 and one Corona, great job. Yes, I'm rich.
Exactly.
I was rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, 2003 was great, but because it closed.
Yeah.
Remember it closed?
2006. I was booked to do the New Year's.
2006.
It was 2005. I think it was going New Year's into 2006.
Okay.
It closed.
Because me, yeah. I did 2003. I don't know why. See, I maybe it's because it was Sherbrooke, Montreal. Sherbrooke,
maybe.
Montreal.
Maybe.
But and my point is... You said you quit, but you didn't quit. It's the opportunity was not there.
You never quit.
Exactly.
If you're really a comic, you can't ever quit because the high is unlike anything else, right?
Yeah.
You can't duplicate that with anything else in life, really. Maybe a handful of things. For different people, it's different things. But if you're a real comic, you can't ever leave.
No, it's there.
It's in,
but the work in progress is not there. Like Maurice Richard.
Right.
Maurice Richard worked 40 hours in a shop. Montreal
yeah.
Canadiens called them. He was tired. He go there and score 5 goals. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Says, oh, maybe we're going to call you back. It's like it was the moment. Now you can work 10, 15 times a week in Montreal.
Right.
Not the best condition.
Exactly.
But you can work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
2000, it was a bit of a boom with the three clubs. Third club
yes.
made a big difference. A lot of people came up in that club because of Paul.
Yes.
At that time.
So... At the time, you can do the Nest, the Works, and the Comedy Zone?
No.
Wow.
The little comedy club wars, right? You know about that. You couldn't play. One club would ban you if you played the other one. You had to choose.
Yes.
Some people could occasionally do both. It was little. The Comedy Works was always neutral. You could do the
yes.
Comedy Works, but
yes.
you had to choose between the Nest and the Zone.
Okay, really? Did you have the choice? Did you have a meeting?
I got more stage time at the Zone because it was newer. So right away, I had come back. 2001, I'd come back from a big trip. I was down in South America for 5 weeks. I drove across Canada. I quit my job at the Montreal Gazette because I wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Wow.
And that's why I consider that my start.
And this is why I always do this podcast. It's because you just say all the sacrifice you made in the past, okay? It's why I always said, why you're not there anymore, like hustling, because you're amazing. You know what I mean? This is why I invite you. Hoping,
yeah.
Like after this podcast, you're going to go out and say, Tabarnak is right.
I should go back.
You should go. I'm funny. I'm amazing.
All in.
Maybe not all in, because
when I watch this, I'm not going to say, oh my God, I'm funny.
You're a good human being, Tabarnak.
I'm going to look at it and say, ah, damn it, I'm a good human being.
Yes.
You're right. I'll give you that.
No, you're come on. Don't be the sarcastic with yourself. As you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, you're a good guy.
Sure.
You respect people.
Yeah.
You pay well the people. You know, every time you do a show, it's professional.
It has to be.
Because now you're more producer, booker, producer. Than
both. You know, I don't like it. It's harder than doing the comedy.
I know.
Producing a show is harder than actually doing the show.
All the stress, the responsibility.
Because then the comics...
And you host.
You host, exactly. And then the comics don't show up.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Rarely.
But that's all on you. The responsibility is yours.
Yes.
When you're booked to do a show, you show up, you do your half hour, 45 minutes, you go home, that's it, you get paid.
Yes.
Everything else is more difficult about producing
a show. You're a simple guy. You know, you're not a hypocrite guy. You don't talk shit behind people. If you don't like someone, you don't like someone.
No BS, exactly.
Exactly. No, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is fun because...
But in comedy also, and what's more important than that, when it comes down to comedy, more so than all the politics, I think funny has to be funny over everything else.
Yeah, but if I'm a shit guy, no matter if I'm funny, you will not book me. You will?
I still book you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Bob.
No, you know what? I'll work with just about anybody. I mean, you'd have to be really, really bad. Depends what you mean by shit guy, because it's a business. We talked about this from the start.
No,
there's comedy, there's show, there's business, right? I'm sure a lot of entertainers that are out, and I don't know all these entertainers, there's a lot of shit people still getting movies and work.
I mean, let's stay in your life.
Yeah.
In your life, you're right. First, not a lot of good comic to do corporate.
Right.
Because it's another game.
Sure, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's sometimes you're going to try for a middle. It's not.
Yeah.
He did 12 limit. He has to do 15. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So because people...
You'll go with the good people that are maybe not quite as funny.
Yes.
And that's so hard to say because the general public has no idea what funny, very funny,
super
funny
is. It's not for general public, by the way. Huh?
What's that, this?
No, it's for people who are interested in comedy.
Yeah, of course.
If Linda of Blainville start to watch this and say, I don't understand what they said. Exactly, Esti.
Okay.
It's not for you, Tabarnak.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
So it's for comedians.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
Okay. Perfect.
The goal is to talk about what we know.
Yeah.
And if people are interested, let's do it. But
perfect.
My point is,
so comedians know that there's funny, funnier, funniest, super funny.
Yeah.
The general public between funnier and funniest don't really know.
No.
They went, they laughed a bit, they think they had a good time, they go home.
Yeah. But if you're funny in a bar.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think they're ready to cooperate.
Oh, and you mean doing a comedy show or just being funny with your friends?
No.
A show in a bar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's another level.
For sure.
Just 10 minutes, cooperate.
Yeah.
You know, the guy said, you're funny. The guy said, I think I'm ready. Look at that. I did 10 minutes. Okay, yes, you kill. Okay, but this joke, you can do this. Because
it's
shit piss dick.
They're laughing at that. They're laughing at the dick. Exactly.
Exactly. So you can't do that at corporate, you know?
No.
So this is... Corporate, you have to be clean.
Yeah.
It may be dirty, but you know where you're going with that.
I always find dirty to be very interesting because a lot of people are very quick to say, oh, they don't like it because it's dirty. It's not because it's dirty. It's because you're not doing it in a funny way.
Exactly.
You can be extremely dirty and funny,
exactly.
But you have to be a better comedian.
Voilà.
That's my opinion.
It's my opinion too.
Oh, they don't like it. They're stuck up. It's dirty. No, you don't tell the jokes very well.
Yeah.
A guy doing dirty jokes in a funny way is going to be the funniest guy in the room.
Yeah.
They will.
Exactly.
They just will. But you got to do it well.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's very hard to do good blue humor, is my opinion.
It's very tough. And another thing, it's like you said, it's every time you do a show and you kill,
yeah,
you think something's gonna arrive in your career.
Oh,
but nothing
gosh.
Arrived.
Let's go back to 1997. The New Voices of Montreal Comedy were in the Gazette. We're on the cover of the entertainment section. Me, Ryan, James, and Matt Boylan.
Yes.
I still have the picture. My parents got it laminated.
I have the laminated thing on the wall. I have the same thing in the Gazette 2013, the star rising.
Exactly. So now you're like, well, now I'm going places.
On my wall.
And you go nowhere.
Yeah.
The next week, you have to get another story.
And you don't know because the ego is so strong. You think everything is good. Until you say, what's happened? Exactly. But it's funny you say that because I think this situation makes you stronger if you understand how to use it.
Yeah.
The struggle, you know.
Yeah.
So you continue. You stop. You came back 2001. Why you came back? Because you saw Three Club.
I came back because I hated my 9-to-5 job doing 40 hours going into the office, and I actually made a negotiation with the newspaper at the time because I started selling online advertising in the late 90s. In Canada, this was not obvious. We launched Canada.com at the time.
Okay.
I'm doing
it's a day job.
It was a really good job.
No, it's a day job.
It was a day job.
So why you don't continue to do a...
It was more than a day job. It was a really good job. It was the end of the newspaper peak.
Okay.
So money was good. Car, laptop, phone, supplied. Expense account, not even questioned, right?
So,
those days,
yeah,
that doesn't exist.
No.
But I didn't like it. I had to go into the office every day.
Yeah.
Around me, we had sales assistant. We had other salespeople. They all said the same thing because they knew I did comedy a little bit. I even did the Christmas parties at the Gazette. I'd get up and I would do 20 minutes and blah, blah, making fun of people in the room. And that's so funny. That's really good. Everyone's, I used to dance. I used to act. I did a commercial when I was in my 20s. But, you know, I'm here now. I get the paycheck. It's good. I'm like, yeah, it is good. But inside, I'm dying in this place.
Wow.
Not that the place was bad. I don't want to give a check.
Oh, come on.
The environment was good. Personally, for me,
yeah,
I couldn't be
everybody
in
knows
there
everybody
when
said,
I want to be
yeah,
doing that.
I know that, yeah.
And that's it. So I had to go and do that. So in 2001,
okay,
I went traveling at first. Went to South America for 5 weeks. I had a friend's wedding in Venezuela. Then went over to Ecuador, toured for 5 weeks, came back to Canada, took off across the country for another 5 weeks, just driving. Now I had no job, I had nothing, but I wanted to do comedy. Clear my head.
Okay,
and refocus.
Okay, before to go there, okay?
Yeah.
What's happened in your life to decide to quit everything and do 5 weeks why? Is it somebody die in your family?
No, there was a wedding. A friend of mine got married in South America.
Okay.
He married a girl
I thought you said a friend got married and I was scared it's my turn.
No. Friend, no. He went down. The wedding was there. So I went down with my girlfriend at the time. And we went down and just traveled. Essentially for 10, 12 weeks.
And this process unconsciously maybe give you the... Because you unbrainwash yourself with your job,
yeah.
Start to live,
yeah.
Start to see other things, and you realize that I'm a comedian. Like because a comedian, look, it's your own boss, it's your own decision. You know what I mean?
But you have to feel it inside.
Exactly.
You found who you are.
Did you feel it there? Where did you say?
Oh, the whole time I was at the Gazette. When
okay.
I was there, I said,
but,
yeah, I'm
yeah,
doing
but,
this, but,
oh,
but I belong
but the comfort
there.
Was too strong. Huh? Too strong, too cold. Filet mignon.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want Kraft dinner, though.
No,
you have
exactly.
filet tender, you know?
It's that, and that's
and
often
steaks.
Why people that are up against the wall, back against the wall is when you're going to succeed the most, right?
Yeah.
High-level sports, comedy, whatever, when you have no other options. When you have other options, it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
It can get dangerous. Dangerous to fall.
Oh, my God. Make some noise
this
for all
thing. Speaking of passion, make a lot of noise.
Look at
this
that.
My passion.
See?
That's good. I should add cappuccino.
Make some noise
delicious.
For Tony, the owner of the Peroni, the best restaurant let's see in town.
Next time we're going to balance your table.
Yes.
Wonderful. Look at that. Your table is moving.
Yeah. Let's see.
Little biscotti.
Make some noise, Baldi.
Right. I like it. Thank you very much.
Wow. Cappuccino. What did you choose?
That's a latte.
Napkin, yeah.
It's a delicious latte.
One napkin, Baldi?
I can have a napkin, sure. We never know what might happen. Look at that.
We never know about it.
That's this kind of show? Is this my audition?
Well, it's you who start that with the napkin.
Oh, with the napkin?
You said we never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
What's going to happen with the napkin if it's not what I just did?
I have no idea what you're talking about. You make your own job.
No, no, no. You said... No. Okay. Rewatch yourself. You said... And napkins, yes. We never know what we can do with napkins.
Yeah.
Smartly. You know what I mean?
I thought I might spill my coffee, but you took it elsewhere.
Oh.
Can I put my...
Really?
I think so, no?
No.
We'll rewatch it after.
Yeah, no, but I know where you go with that. You don't lie about them.
Can I put my pants back on now?
Yeah, you can.
Perfect.
Wow, do you like the podcast right
now? Where are you going? Yeah.
I just adjust to be sure everything is... Marilyn is beautiful. My Seahawk. My Seahawk.
Look at you.
You like football?
Not so much.
No, I know. It's why
I
used to
watch the Alouettes. I watch a bit of football. I caught a bit of the weekend's games, but that's about it. Basketball.
Basketball, it's my new sport, Baldy.
It's your new sport now? Lakers.
Zion.
We're on the bandwagon. He's not in the Lakers.
No, I know, but Zion.
Mm-hmm. You like Zion Williamson?
I love Zion. I love to say Zion.
It's fun to say.
Hey, man. Merci d'être là. Thanks to be here, Baldy.
Thank you.
Kevin Gazer.
It was overdue. It was a trial getting here. You had to bug me.
Oh,
I had
my
to get
God,
with you.
Man,
but I was not in a good place.
I know.
Bad place.
No, I know. It's why I stopped bothering you. Okay, so but let's go back because this was a point of your life when you realized that you knew all the time you want to be a comedian, but because of the job, you know, you know you're enough intelligent at the time to realize that comedy it's full time.
Oh yeah.
It's not part-time.
Right.
So it's why but because of a wedding.
Not exactly.
No, because of the wedding,
yeah.
You decide to go on vacation 5 weeks. Okay? But when you came back, you knew the truth. It was to be a comedian full-time.
Oh, I took off another 5 weeks. I went across Canada.
Wow. Right, so you went to Banff.
I had no job. Why not?
Okay. No money?
I had some money. Okay. I had a good job for 5 years. It was a good job.
So you put money on the side.
Oh, I quit this, I quit that to give up. Newspapers in the 90s were the place to work.
Everything in the 90s was amazing.
It was actually, right? Wasn't it? Now we sound old. Now we sound old. But the money was there. The jobs were good.
2020, man.
90s. So I was 20-something with a good job, expense account, credit card, and everything. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Car, but not really happy because I wanted to do comedy.
Yeah.
So
5 weeks in Canada...
Yeah, 5 weeks, came back, and this is the funny thing, came back, heard that Paul Ronca had a club, no, didn't know it was Paul Ronca, heard there was a third comedy club in town, because now I was gone for 10, 12 weeks, out of the comedy game, came back in, went to where the Comedy Nest used to be, in the Nouvelle Hotel on Guy and, right on Guy.
Okay, so the Nest was
there. Sorry, on the René Lévesque, and not Guy, but just Nouvelle Hotel.
I know.
The Nest was there before.
The
Nest jumped around a little bit, right?
Because you know what shout out to Paul Ash.
Paul Ash,
absolutely. If you want to know the story, the pure story of the comedy club in Montreal, Paul Ash is the Bible. He explained that I didn't know. Ernie.
Stitches.
And Ernie the guy at the works. Jimbo
had
a fight together.
Everybody's always fighting over.
No, it's why Jimbo started the comedy works.
Right.
But the Nest was there too.
Yeah, and then it moved to Crescent. I'm not sure of the exact.
You know everything. My point is, you tell me that the Comedy Nest was there before the Comedy Zone.
Yes.
So the club you talk about in the past. It was the Nest, only the Nest at the hotel.
1997, when I did my audition in the back of the room for just Ernie and Terry, in the front, was where the Comedy Zone went in after.
Okay, so when you came back...
I said, I'm going to check out the Comedy Nest, so I went there.
It's the Zone.
And now it's a new club. I'm like, what is this? New comedy, Comedy Zone.
Whoa.
So I phoned the number.
You phoned the number because no Google.
No, I had to phone the number.
No internet.
There was a bit of internet.
Yeah, but...
You had to dial it up. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Call up and... Paul answers the phone, who I did comedy with before.
He was a comedian.
He used to do comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, do you remember that? Do you ever see his set?
I never saw his set.
Very funny Roberto Benigni. He would jump around the room and he would imitate winning the Oscar, the Academy Award.
Yeah.
He did a big Roberto Benigni. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that was Paul. We used to do all the horrible rooms around town. Anyway.
So you no, man, don't say anyway. See, we are here for that.
Oh, we're here for that.
Yeah, okay. why say anyway all the time? I'm here
to talk about comedy.
And you, yes, all right. It's your place. It's your time, Lua.
So Paul and I used to do every bar. There were bar gigs, but they weren't very good bar gigs. We had a bar gig at a bar called Le Bar. On Sherbrooke and DeGarry.
Okay.
Do you remember this place?
No.
Maybe not. Yeah, why would you, right?
Yeah.
This guy, Andy.
I was in Sherbrooke.
Andy Pellet and Mitch, I can't remember his last name, but Andy Pellet, still around, I think. You see him pop in. I see him at the clubs every once in a while.
Okay.
They used to run these small bar shows everywhere, and one of them was at this like Western bar called Le Bar on Sherbrooke. So I still remember, for whatever reason, performing there with Paul, some of the worst shows I've ever done. So I think they put a comedy show to make the bar legitimate, but I think there was something else going on in the bar.
Oh.
So it would be just the comedian sitting, watching each other, and then there would be a guy, as you're performing on rollerblades, come by, pick up something at the bar, and he would wheel out. And you would be doing your set.
Hey, this is funny.
And the guys at the video lottery would yell at you, shut up, get off the stage. And he's the only guy in there with us, and that was it.
Yeah. Wow,
and
man.
That's paying your dues. Those were some of the shows I did in the 90s, right?
Wow.
Early 2000, Paul opens a club.
Yes.
2001, that was it.
Yes.
And phoned them up. He's like, yeah, come on.
I
started in 2000, I think. 2000 to 2005.
Okay.
I think it lasted 5 years.
Okay. Me, I just knew that 2003 because the show in French started in 2003. But okay, so you arrive. It's not the Nest anymore.
Yeah.
It's the Zone. Where's the Nest?
The Nest was jumping around. I want to say he was in Mario and Nick's restaurant on St. Catherine. So you have the current Comedy Nest right now in the Forum. The Comedy Nest wasn't that room. It used to be on the fourth floor in a jazz club in that building. It was called the Blue Cat.
Okay.
So the Blue Cat was on the fourth. Before that, he moved it around. It was in restaurants.
Because you said three club.
There was the Nest, the Works.
The Works, where's the Works?
On Bishop, always. The Works was there forever.
But it was not the Nest before, at the Works?
Long time ago.
Okay.
It was Stitches.
Okay.
And then it moved on Crescent.
Okay.
The Nest was on Crescent back in the early 90s.
Wow.
I would say early 90s, above Sir Winston's pub, on the top floor.
Yeah.
Small room. I remember going in there to watch shows. Those are the first shows I ever watched.
But you know what? It's fun because at the time, like, no internet, like, no Facebook, nothing. So
no.
If you shut up, if you don't tell to anybody, you can do Works, the Nest, and the Zone, and nobody know.
It's a small community.
Yeah, but think about it. Yeah, I heard you were at the Nest last week. Who cares? It was not like now.
The owners care.
Like now, no, I mean, now I will more understand our paranoia because everybody promote everything. You know what I mean?
It's true. It's true.
It was because if you don't pay me, if you don't give me opportunity, why you bother me because I play free in another club
and
nobody?
The contracts are so funny with no dollar amount associated to the contract.
Yes.
So it's the only person that says, you can only play at this club. Oh, I'm going to have a contract? Yes, for $0 when I call you, but you only play for me.
And they have a cheap price for the beer? No.
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's right. Yeah. 10%. We'll give you
10%.
10%.
Okay, so for you, you arrive fresh for 10 weeks of travel.
Yeah.
So you arrive at the Zone. And for you, why for you, everything changed there? Is it because the energy at the Nest, at the time when the Nest was there, was bad? Or is it because you saw the fresh, you know, when it's new and you feel Paul Ronca pump, you know?
Yeah.
And you said, I want to be part of this thing.
Yeah. I just want to do comedy, right? I quit my job to get back to comedy.
Wow.
Period. That was it. I said, I don't want to do this with my life.
Yeah.
I want to do something else. And I said, that's exactly what I want to be doing.
So 2001 to 2006, full-time comedy?
Oh, yeah. To 2005, a little bit in the ski business. A little bit. But I used that as a way to travel. Because I had the business side in me. I used to work in Banff. So when I was driving across Canada, I stopped in Banff again. Because I used to live there in 1996.
You live in Banff?
I lived there for a year.
Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful, man.
It's great. I worked for a ski
resort.
It's
like a Smurf town, you know?
It is.
The design, you know, with the mountain and all the small hogs, you know.
I like that Smurf Town analogy. That's really good.
The McDonald's, it's not the McDonald's. I don't know why, but when I stopped there, I said, oh, I want to live here forever.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I had never been. So in 95, I had gone through there. But I made my contacts. I worked for a ski resort. I was writing a lot at that time, too. So
you have a comedy club there?
No. They do shows at this place called Wild Bill's. So they do comedy shows at Wild Bill's Bar once a month, I think. Part of a Western tour that goes through. So, yeah.
2001, 2006 full time. What's happened in 2007?
2001. So this is the thing you asked me. So I had a little dabble in the ski work. I went back to them, and this is how I saw an opportunity to get money to travel to go work on my material in other markets. So I was working for a place called Sunshine Village in Banff. They would pay me to go do ski shows in other cities. Quebec City, Toronto, Boston.
Smuggler's notch.
No? Am I giving that away? I shouldn't give that away.
Smuggler's notch. Yeah, and I he booked me there.
I did, but that's a whole... That came later. That's all as a result of
Vermont.
In Vermont.
I arrived at the border. The guy said, where are you going? I said, smuggle... nuts.
Exactly.
But I wrote the number because of that, but it's true. I said that to the guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to smuggle
exactly.
Nuts.
That's it.
Guy, he laughed so hard. He said, are you a comedian? I said, yes. I said, let's go. But Vermont, remember Vermont?
Absolutely.
Give me an opportunity. We have a discussion after the show with a slice of pizza.
With Dan Bingham.
Yes. With a slice of pizza, talk about life.
Shout out to Dan Bingham.
Shout out to Dan.
In the video game business, he's quit comedy. I want to see him back on stage. So if he's watching this...
I didn't know. Did he quit? He come back, buddy?
I don't think he does comedy. He does a good job with Ubisoft. He's making video games and writing scripts, and he's doing all that fun stuff. Yeah, he had a very successful show. He's another guy. Great guy. You should have him on.
Let's go, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to get him on.
So we're going to pump him to come back again in comedy.
He should.
So because... how did ski arrive in your life?
Oh, that's my other passion.
Yeah,
and I still say that's a bit of my problem. My two passions. When you ask me who are you as a person, so I'm a skier, I'm a comedian.
Oh, you started with ski?
No. If you asked me then, I'm a comedian, who loves skiing?
So you were so good skiing, they start to want to pay you?
For promotion and marketing, because I always had a business background too.
Okay.
Sales, more pure sales. I'm an interactive pure sales. I like
it's funny you
with
say
people.
That. Yeah, because you're a seller at the newspaper.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You know what? It's funny. It's not difficult to sell newspaper.
No, and
it's not difficult to sell ski.
Internet. No.
So why is it difficult to sell yourself?
I was just gonna say that. I'm good at selling anything, but I can't walk into a room and say, "Hey, you know who the funniest guy in the room is? Me." I never was able to say that.
I know.
I always wanted somebody else to say that for me, and I'm still waiting.
Listen.
Nobody seems to believe in you in Canada. I'm going to say that.
Oh, yeah, okay. You think?
That's my opinion. I could be wrong. The guys I know that have made it have done it themselves.
In French?
Where's your sound man? Where's the video guy?
In French?
Where's the video guy?
What do you mean?
You have a team that edits these podcasts
and put it on? There.
Exactly. Who's supporting you saying, I like what you're doing, this is funny,
we're
going to give you a sponsor, we're going to edit this, and we're going to take you to another level. Nobody. It's you.
Yeah.
It's always been like that.
Nobody takes you.
I always thought I had this false hope, that I don't want to be the agent, I want to be the comedian only.
I invent a manager.
Yeah.
You invented a manager? Listen.
That's fantastic.
I'm so ashamed.
I love that.
Okay. I call like 20 camping, a long time ago, 2010, okay?
Yeah.
And so my name is Bob Dupuis.
Mm.
I'm the manager of Sébastien Bourgault, blah, 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 blah. Because it was impossible for me to say, hey, I'm Sébastien Bourgault, I'm funny, like you said.
Exactly.
It was impossible. So I said, let me, so I did that. Nothing happened. because I think it was in March.
Yeah.
And nothing happened because all the camping are closed in June. I was eating a fondue chinoise. My girlfriend's gonna laugh, man. Okay? So, you know what is fondue chinoise?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is in English?
We should have had one here.
Yeah, next time.
We'll come back.
It's a beef and in the.
Yeah, you put it in the hot oil and you light the house on fire.
The phone ring.
Yeah.
So I answer, and the lady said, I would like to talk to Bob Dupuis.
Perfect.
I said, Bob Dupuis, wrong number. She said, wrong number. Oh, it's because I want to book Sébastien Bourgault. So, one second. Oh, fuck.
That's fine.
Look, I said, honey, it's working. I said, yes. She said, no. It's the same voice that the guy before.
Yeah.
I said, I know. it's weird. I'm gonna end up. No. Let me explain to you. And I think I bullshit about a call of somebody else. I see what he said. I surf. You know, I to try to not lose the gig. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, when she paid me. Because I got the gig.
Yeah.
After when she paid me, she said, "I just want to tell you, you have the same voice than your manager."
That's great. That's classic.
But listen, I never did that before. After that, okay.
Okay.
Now, when you call me,
yeah,
it's my price.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
If you said yes, but I have this, okay, I'm gonna adjust.
Yeah.
The goal is to have the show, you know?
Exactly. But everyone wants
But now
manager.
I know...
You like dealing with the manager. Makes you look better.
Man, I bump so hard in my life. I work so hard. This is free.
Mm-hmm.
This is free. Cost me energy, time, money. So when I charge my show, I charge for
sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
For all the bomb, the week I bomb and the weekend I kill, you want a good... Somebody called me last time and said, I have this of money. I said, are you somebody else?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Call me next year.
I think having
to stick
to our price is another big thing in the industry. People don't stick to a price necessarily.
No.
Even though you might lose work.
In French, in general, people stick with a price. It's 2,000.
It's a good thing.
Don't disturb me.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. Because every situation can happen. Could be a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Could be just a guy who wanted to do a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And good things might come out of those fundraisers.
Exactly.
But you still should stick to that price. But people don't. It's tough.
Yeah, but the point is, some people abuse of comedy, of comedian.
Yeah.
Like everybody in English, this is the worst in English. In French,
yeah.
When somebody calls me, they start with the price.
Right.
In English, they call me. Say, yeah. We have a fundraiser, sick kid.
Yeah.
We have to pay the DJ, the napkin,
yeah.
The chips,
yeah.
You know? And after it's me.
Yeah.
And they say, we don't have a lot of budget, but who's going to be on the poster? My face.
Yeah.
How are you going to sell ticket? The chips? The DJ? My face.
Yeah.
So, but it's always me who's going to be less paid. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because it's a fundraiser, and now I hate that.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? We don't have money. But it's a great exposure because
oh, yeah.
You never know who's going to be on the
course.
I said, "Tabarnak, it's you."
Yeah.
Yes, I see. You know what I mean? Or the television is going to be there. Who cares?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know what I mean? And because we are so passionate,
yeah,
we are fucked. Because I will not stay home.
And it's funny,
you know what I mean?
Because you want to do some charity too. There's good causes, right? And there's sometimes you have to pick your battles, right?
Yeah,
it's just like you can't donate money everywhere. You can't donate your time everywhere.
Exactly.
But I know that some guy, I know of a comedian, he's in the US, I think, I can't think of his name. He does 10 free shows a year. There's a list on his website, and once those are full, that's it. But he does 10. He's like, I'll give you 10. And he takes all the submissions.
Yeah, but what's happened if you have a 3,000 show at the same time?
Wow.
It's true. But you know, my point is, if you have an agent,
yeah,
and the guy called you, I said, oh, we want Kevin Gilger for free, the agent will be able to say, fuck you.
Yeah.
Kindly.
Of course.
And the guy will not take personally you.
Exactly. He's going to
try
and
the manager.
He might try and find you. Anyway.
Me, sometimes I have to explain to the person I talk, you don't talk to Sébastien Bourgo now. We
right.
Talk to the manager of Sébastien Bourgo. Do you know what I mean?
And then you change your voice now? Or
No. I just say what I said now, you know? And I don't care if they don't understand.
Right.
A guy called me, said, I have $300
yeah.
for 1 hour. I said, yes. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I would love to do $300 for 1 hour. I said, it's because you don't understand comedy.
Yeah.
It's. Do you know how long I work to have a 1 hour killer in the corporate?
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
$300, it's nothing. So keep your $300, wrote a number, wrote a 1 hour,
yep.
And book yourself for $300. Good luck, you know?
Or what I even hate in that is they're going to go and get... Because we talked about the funniest, funnier, funny, not so funny, okay. He might book one of the funny to okay for $300, but then he's going to say, comedy doesn't work here. But he didn't want to pay to get the funniest. And that's a disservice in the business too. And that's
yeah.
a big problem. People
yeah.
don't know that.
Yeah.
You can get a show for $300. You can go to an open mic night.
Yeah.
Find four guys and they're gonna. Well, I get four guys for $600, or I get four guys for $1,000. So yeah. but four guys that are so funny, or one guy that's over the top?
When you call me,
yeah,
you don't charge me a lot,
right?
But we are friends.
Yeah.
Conditions are amazing.
They have to be. But it's also competitive to the market, because if they make another phone call, especially locally, somebody else will get the same guys at the cheap price. And that's a problem.
Yeah, but my point is not about that. It's not about like, my point is because you're a great guy, and you have to understand, I know you will not pay me a lot, but, like, No,
absolutely.
I don't lie.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I pay right in line with what I get.
I know what you mean. You pay like the 350, 400, 500 in general.
Oh, this could be higher, but yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
In general, me, I charge more than that.
Yeah.
But because it's you, like Neil Jana, my point is I prefer to talk less and have good condition and friendship.
Right, of course.
But I'm going to use this 300 people. To promote myself.
Of course.
To have bigger show after.
Exactly.
You know my point?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because it's not, I don't want to disrespect you or said you don't pay well.
Yeah.
You pay the market.
Yeah.
I know that. But I did a corporate for 1,000 and it was shit.
Oh yeah.
But I make double than you.
Exactly.
But every time I do a show with you, I have fun.
Right.
And I have other corporate after.
Sure,
it's very important that this is the way to for me to keep stay tight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need the time for sure.
But
this is why it's so tough. There's no consistency. And the other thing is the lack of consistency. People don't understand. If you're giving up, even if you're getting, say, it's 1,000 for the one night, you might have to give up a weekend in a club that's going to pay you 1,500 or 2,000 or more.
Show me the club who paid that.
There's clubs around.
No. Trust me.
We'll talk after.
No, we cannot talk now if you want. Nobody gave you 2,000 in a comedy club. Trust me. No. Show me where.
Oh, in Canada. But again, now's our
problem in Canada. In Quebec, in
now's
Montreal.
Our problem with Canada.
In Toronto, Ottawa, the good luck.
Exactly.
But the problem... Yeah. About the 350, the 400.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
No.
It's somebody dropped the price and everybody jumped on that.
Oh, exactly.
This is the responsibility of everybody.
That's right.
We should higher the price.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because it's cheap, look. It's too cheap.
From spots to everything.
Yes.
Because without the comics, there would be no clubs or corporate gigs.
Yeah.
So if people just said, no, that's my new price, it would eventually have to be that price.
Yes.
And you only need to get about 20 people to say, okay, let's do this.
Exactly.
And that would be it.
Yes.
But nobody can't even do it with 20 or 30 people.
Yeah. But show me a club who give you 2,000 a weekend. Wow. But at the same time, I prefer to do one show for the same price because 2,000, look, It's mean like six shows.
Let's go 1,500. 1,500 you can do. 200, 250 a set?
Not in Montreal. Not in Ottawa. Not in Toronto.
Think, well,
No. Trust me.
Okay.
Okay, maybe. Okay, five show. Maybe five show.
Five or seven shows, yeah.
Maybe seven shows is rare. Or maybe the absolute. Maybe exactly. Because they have more show.
Who's a guy I met at the Comedy Zone back in 2003?
Oh, they pay $400 a show?
Who's this?
At the Zone? Headliner?
At the Zone. There wasn't a lot of money in the pot. The late shows were struggling at the time. That's why it closed. I mean, it was a tough business at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still a tough business.
Yeah.
Huh? If somebody asks me, I'm going to start a comedy club. Into 2020, it's a good luck.
Yeah.
Because this is the same thing that us, always a restart.
Yeah.
The show finished, promotion, free ticket,
exactly.
You know, the booking, you know. The ego of the comedian, why I'm not here, why he's here, why don't, you know what I mean? So, at the Zone, do you start open mic? Do you start middle?
Because it was so new, there was a lot of comics that would not have come from the Comedy Nest to the Zone. So, it was a new crop of talent that came up. So who was there in the early days? I mean, myself, we had Derek Lingvenis. Do you remember his name at all? Derek was a regular there. Mike Patterson was there.
Yeah, shout out to Mike Patterson.
Shout out to Mike P.
Massimo.
Massimo.
Way.
Sugar Sammy in the
Sugar
early
Sammy,
days.
Sugar Sammy, it was his home.
His home, exactly.
Like, on the French, like, he was banned everywhere, I think.
The Bad Boys of Comedy.
Yeah.
I think those were the shows back in 2003, 2004, right around then. John Bueller from Vancouver. I think he's still around the circuit. Very, very funny guy. Who else? Ron Vaudry, who you might have seen at
the angry guy.
He was a regular at the, he would always tell you off. He'd tell you how shit you did every time you came off stage. Never forget him.
Yeah, I know already. See why you told me that? I was there.
Yeah, exactly. Were you there doing
it? No, inside you, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly.
Why you tell me something I know? I was there. I know.
Yeah, oh, but he'd tell you. He would tell you. If he said nothing, you know you did well. Oh, otherwise, he had a line to hit you with. You'd be emceeing. If you didn't do a good job, he would say something, take the mic, and go into his bit.
So are you sad when the zone dies?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't know where to go. It was 2005. We were booked for New Year's. It was something to do, and then you get the call saying, no, the club is closing on December 31st, and that's it. There's no shows. We're done.
Wow.
So at that point, you still had the works, which was giving you time, but not a lot of time. And the headline would have been very, very difficult. But I was able to get into the Nest pretty much immediately.
Okay.
A couple of references from the right people. And Ernie was very welcoming. He said, yeah, come on in. Road shows, gigs, and just started working again at the Nest. That would have been 2006 till about 2010.
So 2006, 2010, you split the club.
Yeah. Well, works and Nest. You could do both. Yeah, okay. You could do both. So you could pull a weekend here and a weekend there. No problem.
So let's talk about the first show ever, because when I love to know, because the reason why you're here is because the Kevin Gaiser at the time decided to bomb on stage.
Yeah.
First show, remember your first show?
I do.
Where was your first show ever though?
Yeah, not counting a little skit in school that I would have
done. No, in the Comedy Club.
Comedy Works.
First show ever is at the Comedy Works?
Yeah, in the Comedy Works. Yeah, absolutely.
1997?
You know what? I keep saying 1997. This is where I got that. Now that you're making me think about stuff, right? First show ever must have been 95.
Okay.
Because it was before I went to Banff. But I did one or two sets. I came out of university. And it means I'm going to try comedy. So I went in. I did some sets in the club. But then I was scheduled to go in January out to Banff, January 96. So I must have done some sets in between September and December 1995. Did a few sets. I remember I went with a pink jacket with like a zebra stripe inside the jacket. No clue.
So you go there.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about comedy. You don't know any comedian there.
No.
You remember who hosts?
That's a good question. I want to say it could have been this guy, Terry Simpson.
Okay.
He was one of the regulars with one of the improv groups at the time. So if Scott Falconbridge would have been doing sets there already, who would... I don't remember the host.
Do you remember where you are in the lineup?
25 years.
Wow. Oh my God.
25 years ago. Now.
Look at that baby face, ST.
Look at that.
Wow.
I got a shave for you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I should have.
Okay. Remember the lineup? Your first, ballet, second?
Man, no. It's too long ago.
It's inside. It's inside. Forever. It's like, remember the first time you have sex? No. It's too long. Fuck you, man. You know.
With somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you love you so much, we can talk about that, you know?
Okay.
Because you love napkins. Look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got that.
You don't remember the lineup, okay? But you remember when you go on stage, the feeling?
Oh, yeah,
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember if you, when you took the mic, talk on the mic, the light, you know, the feeling?
Absolutely.
Did you bomb the first show?
Yeah. Did reasonably well because I had people that I knew. So you would get stage time if you brought a lot of people.
You bring people.
Oh, yeah. Mike Sorrow. Did you ever know Mike? Mike passed away a few years ago.
No.
He was the booker. And he would always call up. He would pick up the phone. It would always be the same thing. He's like, you'd leave a message, and he would call you back. He'd be like, all right, kid, you're on this week. 5 minutes. Bring friends. Bring lots of friends. And he'd hang up the phone.
Because I don't want to do this job.
Yeah, well, no, he would always do that. He was the booker there. And then Mike was
so stupid, then.
Yeah, a fixture at the works. So he booked me. We went in. I went in.
How many people you bring?
Must have been about 20 on the first time.
Wow.
Which is big for that room.
Hey,
that's big for that
to
room.
To bomb in front of people, you know, you need a lot of guts.
Bring a lot of people, because if you're bombing, they're going to laugh harder at you.
I know, but you know what
I mean. And then you get a false sense of confidence. You think you're good, and it keeps you going.
Exactly. So you bomb the second show.
Second was still okay because I brought people again.
But did you write something or you thought you were a genius?
No, I hear that. Some people just don't write. They just go in, they do it, right? No, I wrote a lot.
I did write.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote. Yeah.
So you go on stage, you did well. Remember when you go outside, off the stage, you said, it's for me? Remember the feeling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, definitely. You want to do this more and more.
So you drink, party.
Yeah, a couple of drinks. I wouldn't say I got
it's easy.
Yeah, it was good. You're like, this is going to go somewhere, right? This is going to go somewhere. And then, my gosh, it goes nowhere fast.
Depends.
But I left, right?
Depends,
I
what is, depends what is nowhere.
Right.
Because you wrote some good shit for a guy who went nowhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. That was some really bad jokes. I didn't. Yeah, I can't even remember a lot of the set, but...
No, but you have some joke...
cue cards, whatever.
You know what I mean?
I have recordings on a little mini cassette recorder, because I did a lot of studying. I got into comedy because I wanted to be...
The best.
I wanted to be a David Letterman. I wanted a talk show. I just wanted to host a show. I said, well, how do you host a show? And you find out David Letterman did this thing, stand-up comedy, and you're like... David Letterman was my hero, right? The old NBC late show... late night with David Letterman. I have the cap. I went to visit his old university in Indiana when I was driving back across. Anyway, in 96.
So why you did not start your own late show?
Another good question, right? Mike Bullard tried it, I guess, in Canada. Again, I don't understand why we don't have a late show in Canada across the country.
Exactly.
We can't support our own people.
This is weird. This is the reason why we don't have a star system in Canada, you know?
Yeah, there's
because so many good stars in Canada. So many good people.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this was the dream. The dream was to move to LA or New York at the time, or never feel like that?
I was joking around early in university, right? Oh, where are we going to catch up with this? Oh, eventually I'm going to be at NBC in New York City.
Yeah.
It's a cocky thing to say.
No,
when you're young and you're, you know,
I don't think it's cocky, but you need naivety and cockiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to succeed in this business. The proof?
Yeah.
It's in 2010.
Yeah.
You lost that.
Yeah, around
the ego, or maybe a girl at the time, or a kid, and you got a kid.
Yeah,
make you change the way you think, or just said no. I'm gonna go all in more because I have a kid now. You know what I mean?
2006, we had a child. Absolutely,
and you know
that changes because you want to spend time with them. So I had this idea in my head, even doing comedy. I said, this is gonna be a great, great job. So I'm going to work on the weekend, right? And then I'm going to come home, I'm going to do some corporate, some local, then I'm going to stay home, and then I'm going to go away every 2 weekends. So I'm going to do maybe 20 weeks a year on the road, and then I'm going to patch it in with other work when I'm at home. Until you realize, nobody's paying travel expenses. So I'm not going to Calgary. I was booked. I still remember when I slowed down comedy. Would have been 2010-ish. 2009, 2010. The year is vague. I was booked to co-headline at the Comedy Cave in Calgary.
Wow.
With Trent McClellan, who now has his show, he's phenomenally successful, right?
But you know what I mean? Every time you talk about the past, somebody beside you succeed there.
I see it.
You don't understand that if you did not stop, it would be your turn.
It's possible.
I don't want you cry. I'll go home. Fuck, he's right. Why I quit?
But I cut my
because
in
it's
the
never
washroom,
too late, by the way.
Clean up with a napkin.
Exactly, it's never too late, by the way. You know that.
Yeah, I hear that.
I don't say that to say.
No, no.
I say that to open the fire inside you. You know.
No, absolutely.
Because you're amazing.
But I'll just finish the comedy.
And you have
story.
So many big dreams. But you have so many big dreams inside, not finished.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a host. I want to be Letterman. Yeah, you can do that by your own. Yeah, look. It's my Letterman. It's my show.
Yeah, I don't want this. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. I know what you mean, though.
You know what I mean?
Well, you have to be doing it to get it, right?
Yes.
That whole crossroads of hard work and opportunity equals luck.
Yeah.
So you got to keep going. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But enter my other passion of skiing, which I always felt was...
Yeah, but where's the video of skiing? You know what I mean?
I just love the business, right? I love everything about it. I almost feel like I've achieved what I want to achieve in that business. Skiing has me on the radio. Skiing has me doing regular ski columns, talking about skiing, traveling. I work for a helicopter skiing company. That's almost... I've skied all over the world. Japan, France, North America.
I
love it.
I know, but I know the real story too. It's easy. If you compare to comedy... Come on, don't lie. It's the real, and you get paid well. You know, people respect you.
My ultimate goal in 2001.
You know what I mean? You ski, No, no, but listen, this is very important. Yeah. The difference between the passion, yeah, it's equal. But when it's time to make a choice, like, oh, this give me already money, opportunity, yeah, this I have to suffer, fight all the time, you take age.
But even in
think about that. If you have the same...
But I don't work for a company. I work for myself.
If you have the same opportunity,
yeah,
in a comedy,
yeah,
the same, everything you got,
yeah,
the only difference is this is key and this is comedy, but you have the rest the same. Think about that.
Yeah.
Where you go?
If both are equal, but what is equal? What does that mean?
It's mean why you decide to ski more than do comedy. It's mean that.
Both keep me sane in different ways.
No. Listen.
Yeah.
Everything you got in ski.
Yeah.
Around. Not that you ski, it's fun.
Yeah.
But the rest around.
Yeah.
It's the same than on comedy.
Meaning what?
Meaning money, travel, opportunity. You know what I mean?
I do. But now we're going to bring in other stuff into the conversation. Family, relationships, all of that stuff.
But it's the same thing. You travel.
Comedy costs you your life because it has to be everything. I think it does.
Yeah.
Relationships, kids,
yeah,
all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because this is my story with the Comedy Cave. So I'm booked the co-headline. I'm supposed to go. I'm like, this is fantastic. I'm going to get meals. They're going to pick me up at the airport. I'm going to get a hotel. And I think it was $750 at the time for the shows.
Yeah.
Which was good at that time.
Yeah.
For a co-headline.
And you don't pay your travel, though.
You pay your plane. And that's where the problem came in.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go for $750. I'm going to pay $400 for my flight. I'm going to stay one weekend for $300. I may as well go work in a club over here. I come back with nothing.
Exactly.
So you have to go for 2, 3, 4 weeks and tour in the West.
No, it's my point.
But now the family's going to suffer.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
No, I know. That's the problem. It's why I said the equality, because you still travel with ski a lot.
Yeah,
travel,
not as much.
No, but at that time you travel a lot with a kid.
Yeah.
You have a kid at home.
Yeah.
You still travel.
Yeah.
But so it's the same problem. The only problem is when you come back off ski,
yeah,
money is there.
Right.
You know what I mean? This,
yeah,
is my point.
Yeah,
if you go to Calgary,
yeah,
at the Comedy Cave for $750 and pretend it's more, it's $150. And everything gets paid, and you,
yeah,
come back with $150.
Right.
You will stay in comedy.
Right.
It's my point.
Yeah, probably. I see too many good people, and maybe that's what makes you tougher, but I,
yeah,
see a lot of good people,
yeah,
that don't continue,
yeah,
because the conditions don't make,
yes,
sense. And it's not a lot of money, it's a little bit of money that,
yeah,
keep people from continuing.
Listen, my dream? I realized my dream last year?
Skiing.
To headline... And comedy club in Sacramento, San,
yeah,
Francisco,
yeah,
Arizona, LA.
Yeah.
But it was with my dogs and my girlfriend, no matter,
right,
what.
Yeah.
I will not go there alone. No, I will. So I drove 60 hours, 4 days with my dog.
Great.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Everybody make a choice.
Sure.
Of where you go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the time, your girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
Did she believe you a lot about comedy? You know what I mean?
Believe in me?
Yeah, about you're going to succeed and the money's going to arrive soon. You know, because this is another thing in our life.
Yeah.
Because people always take excuse of kids.
Yeah.
Because of comedy, I have kids, it's why, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's not true. Kids, it's kids. You know, I saw a lot of superstars have kids.
Yeah.
And they succeed.
Did they have kids before they succeed? That's the big question.
Yes, they have kids before.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't want to press you for examples, but
Joe Rogan can give you maybe.
But we're talking before he sold theaters, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay.
When did they were poor?
I don't know the background.
No, exactly. Man, my point is it's when you want something badly,
yeah,
like you have at the, you know,
yeah,
and you switch,
yeah,
for money,
yeah,
or maybe or me, I have girlfriend in the past who tell me that why you don't find a real job,
right?
Your comedy don't work.
Yeah.
I said because I don't want to do a real job. I want to,
right,
you know what I mean? Take times, take years.
Yeah.
You know that at the time, you,
absolutely,
know, because you start with nothing, with no comedy club, nothing. Now a boom arrive.
Right.
You start to hustling, and when you're at your best,
yeah,
you stop or you take a break. You know what I,
yeah,
mean?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't think it's weird?
It is weird. It is weird. Yeah, but again, my kid, I say for myself, I had to spend time with my kid and my family. Yeah.
No, because I know I do that every day. You know, yesterday I bombed, tonight I'm gonna bomb. I understand that the pressure to be always at your best.
Yeah.
Because nobody's gonna do anything. And the money, I don't arrive like every job. Like, you do something, you get paid. You do something, you get paid. No matter, you know what I mean? In comedy, it's you do a show, not pay. Oh, you pay.
Yeah.
So we don't work like you. I don't. I work in the year.
Yeah.
How much money I did in the year.
Right.
Because some months it's shit, some exactly. months it's
I don't even like looking at it by the year. I like looking at it because here's the thing. If somebody told me, hey, Kevin, you're going to make no money for 5 years, but then you're going to get $5 million, I'd be like, okay, that's good. They'd be like, what did you make last year? Zero. That's fine. You know what I mean? I don't even look at it. And that's the big thing of leaving the office for me in 2001. My main goal was not to be corralled, if that makes sense, right? Corralled by rules and time limits exactly. and all that. I didn't yeah. want to be in the office anymore. Yeah. I wanted to be doing my own. I wanted to live life. Yeah. And I do feel that life and work are tied together.
Yeah.
Because when you're a comedian, that's what you do. So what do? I'm a comedian. You work at night, you work in the morning, you write at 2 in the morning, 4 yeah. in the morning, whatever. Yeah. I never liked that 9 to 5,
yes.
10 to 6. Even with, we're going to give you flex hours.
Yeah.
yeah, but you still have to come in between 7 and 10, and then you have to leave between, it's not really flex.
Exactly.
You can't just not show up for 2 weeks and then go back.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about comedy. That's what I like about, wow, my ski business is on my own. You're on your own schedule. That's the best
yes.
part of it.
Yes, and your own responsibility about why you bomb. You know what I mean? Because you didn't write.
Oh, and that's the best part. Not yes. relying on the group.
Why you think I do that podcast?
Yeah.
Because it's my. It's like I'm. I see my my psychologue. I'm also a psychologue.
Oh, yeah,
shrink.
That's always good. Yeah, absolutely.
It's my shrink day. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Because
it's good.
Why you think I do that? Because I'm in the world of comedy. I work every day. And it's tough, man.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
It's tough, man. I want to quit every day. You know what I mean? But yeah. at the same time, I don't want to quit. You know what I mean? Because it's my life, and
yeah.
I don't want to just have money for a routine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know soon something's gonna arrive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's what keeps everyone going, right?
You
just
have
when
to
you
believe
think
in
so.
Yourself
always,
all the time, no matter. Yes.
It's
yes.
always yeah.
I learn every day about everything. You know, I like stop waiting about the phone. Do your own stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Do your own thing. See, if the phone ring, good. But you do something else. You know.
One of my biggest, and that's the whole thing: marketing, promotion. Like you say, nobody, even to this day, my one bit of advice for any newer comics out there always is: develop your own audience.
Yeah.
Take email addresses, friend them on Facebook, Instagram, yeah. whatever it is. But stand there and do it. And again, I'll defer back to a guy like Sammy.
Yeah.
Who,
oh,
Sugar
Sammy is a mentor.
But the pictures is not to make people happy and make him happy. It's to develop the yeah. network of people.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. After the show, they go in the room, they drink a beer, they don't show their face in the front. Why not stand out front, collect email addresses, friend each other on Instagram and Facebook,
yeah.
run content, develop your lists, invite people back to shows. Yeah. They say, I liked your show. If you don't get their name, like any other business.
Yeah.
When I'm selling skiing, oh, I like skiing. I want to go helicopter skiing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, give me your email address. But if somebody comes to me after a show and says, I really like what you did, I say thank you and I walk away.
Yeah, but you're Kevin Gerzer, it's more easy than Sebastian Borgo. Nobody remember my name. That's why I have a business card now. But okay, so let's go back to...
But you take their name and put it on your list.
Yes.
Nobody does that.
Nobody does that. No.
Nobody does. No. Sammy did it.
So, yeah, he did it. Yeah, Kevin Hart.
People
Kevin Hart. He said, club's going to rape me.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take
their audience.
The audience. And now, who's laughing, you
exactly.
know? So 2000, because people think you stop in 2012. You didn't stop. You just decide to go somewhere else. Because you still do comedy.
Absolutely, yeah.
You don't do club anymore. Rarely.
I'm going to go back this month.
Okay, but you
well,
don't
because
do open
of my
mic.
Knee up, I had a big health condition. I was
exactly.
booked in clubs again. Kingston, Ottawa, Toronto,
okay, yeah,
which
yeah.
I had to cancel because of my
yeah,
knee
yeah,
operation.
Yeah. Are you all right now?
But yeah, I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I'm getting, the leg is strong. I had a rejected ligament in my knee. It's better now.
Okay.
Getting better, getting stronger.
So because you do just corporate.
Yeah.
I saw you all the time in corporate.
Yeah.
So, but what is did you fix something in 2020, like, or about your life, right? Because you know when you have a big accident like you have, you think about a lot of things, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So where are you now? Not about your personal life, but about comedy?
Well,
is it something arrived when you're in the hospital and you said, I'm like, I'm going to die? Is it something you said, I would love to go back in comedy full time?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You want to write about it. You want to give it one more push. You'll never be able to leave. If you're truly a comedian, you're never going to walk away and not go on stage again. You're not.
Yeah.
And I really believe that's me as a person.
Yeah.
It's funny to say that, right? Because there's a lot of people that, I'm sure for in different fields, that I'm an artist. You're not going to just stop painting. If you're really an artist, you're going to paint all the time.
Yeah.
So you're going to write jokes. You're going to go. You're going to need that feedback from the crowd.
Yeah.
So with myself, it did put my skiing in perspective because now I've wrecked both my legs over the years. I had a surgery 20 years ago.
Okay.
I used to do ski racing and I tore the ligament on my right leg.
Yeah.
And now in a stupid accident in March, I tore the left leg. And now because the operation didn't go well, I like working in skiing because I love skiing. But if I can't ski at a high level, maybe there is something else. So maybe it's going to come back to comedy. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I always want to write more. I miss open mics and just fooling around.
Ah, yes.
That's the best.
Ah, man. With the shitty sound, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Smell carpet, bad carpet.
Nobody in the crowd.
Yeah.
They think you're a worthless piece of crap.
You're a piece
of shit. This guy's not even funny.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. I'm just doing new material and tossing it out.
Exactly.
That's the best.
The ego, man. Ah, you know, it's so strong, man. And when you're able to do that, like, I don't care about what you think about me bombing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and take a beer with guys.
Yeah.
You know, chilling outside of the club after, you know, when the summer, not the winter. So I'm pumped. You think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because my goal is to talk with somebody who have the same struggle.
Right.
And finish strong with, I hope you will never quit, because nobody never told me that. In my past, when I quit all the time, never give me like, "Hey, don't quit, buddy. You're amazing." So it's my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to the tell support you, has been incredible.
Because
a lot
you,
of people.
You support me all my career. I don't know if it's because you thought I will stop, but at the end, you always encourage me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. People that have potential, you push them for sure.
Exactly. So you know, I'm grateful because at the time. When you start, nobody care about you, you know? Nobody people laugh about me at the time, remember? They still laugh about me, but now I don't care because I make money.
Okay.
But at the time,
right?
Look the clown, see who speak bad, you know, with a big accent. But you remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
You remember my journey, you know? And you were there when I start, you encourage me, you book me, you know what I mean? And now you're here with my podcast.
For sure.
It's amazing. When you put your mind to it, anything is possible. And this is a reason why, because I always thought like everybody know that.
Yeah.
It's not true. No, we forgot.
They have to believe it.
Yeah, but
they
forgot so many stress in our life.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forgot why I'm not motivated anymore. You know what I mean? Because this job sucks so much energy. You know that.
Yeah.
So it's why I do a podcast, and it's not, and everybody have the same story, different way, different path, but at the end, everybody's pumped to talk about that.
Oh yeah,
comedy, it's in your blood forever.
Exactly.
No matter if you're full time or if you quit or if you're middle between that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I like watching people's journeys. It's incredible to see them. The hard work, the road comics you've never heard of, some of the funniest people you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Nobody knows of them though. But what piece is missing? It's such a challenge. I know comics with no address, no home address, because they toured 48 weeks a year. I have a post office box at my parents' house.
Angelo,
on the road
interview Angelo.
Tarukas?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And he tore 250 a day a year.
Yeah.
He had the kids.
Crazy.
6 years old kids.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, but Mike
made
it a while ago. No,
you know what I mean?
See, 6 year old. You're right. 6 year old. I give
like in the past.
But,
your kids?
But Ange used to come by the Comedy Zone in 2001. No kids. The big cigar and whatever. And his brother, Mike. Mike and Ange. Mike was a booker. Mike was always at the club at the Comedy Zone. And yeah, Angelo, so 6 years old. But that makes sense. He came up with the right class of people. We had Frank Spadone. You had
Angelo.
You had Russell Peters.
He traveled, but
absolutely.
He doesn't see his kids.
Well, they're six now.
Yeah.
I never made it to a point. I wasn't headlining when I had my kid. Okay. Yet. That's a big difference. I was about 5 years in.
Okay.
So I was getting there.
Okay.
But you're not good unless you have 10 years. Yes. And if you are good, you're only going to get better.
I'm 8 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm 2 years.
You're going to get better. Howard Wagman told me this. Thought he was full of shit in the beginning.
Shout out to full of shit Howard Wagman.
Yeah, full of shit Howard Wagman.
Love you, Bobby.
But he told me
guy.
This early on. Yeah, he is. He is. He said, you know, short of 10 years, I wouldn't... He said he would never headline anybody. He's headlined you. So he's breaking his rules. Should give him 2 more years before you book him again. He's headlining you at Yuck Yucks?
Yeah.
Exactly.
My... 3 years.
Okay.
I started in 2012.
Yeah.
I worked like 300 show every year. In 2015, I did 900 show in English Bombing, and he headlined me.
Wow.
In the summer.
That's good.
Yeah. Man, yes. And after that, I headlined at Montreal, Toronto, and everywhere. Mississauga, Estevan, Ajax, you know what I mean? But it's because I was like that. Yeah, I was like, listen, when Mark Breslin booked me at downtown Toronto,
yeah,
I said, I'm going to accept the headline, but you give me, I need spots before.
Yeah.
Because it's not because now I speak in English and people don't understand, I kill in Ottawa, Montreal, I'm going to kill in Toronto. Toronto is another world.
Yeah, of course.
So I bomb, I think I got 30 spots. Everywhere in the club.
Yeah.
Bomb, 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 sweat, bomb, bomb, sweat. Bomb, là. It's, you know, yeah. Ugh. But you know what? When my headline arrived in Toronto,
yeah.
Kill.
Perfect.
You know why? Because I worked my ass off.
Exactly.
I will not believe it if I did not turn the show before and bombing all weekend. At the, you know, did you play at the Toronto?
I've not done yet.
You never went there?
I was always with Absolute Comedy.
But you never went there?
Not the new room. The new room, no. I mean, it was the old room.
It's not very fun. I don't like this room. It's not fun. It's because it's high. The stage, the
ceiling is low?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have 1,000 light. 1,000 light.
Yeah.
And you have crowd there, and a little bit here. You know what I mean?
That's bizarre.
It's very weird. Yeah. And if it's not full, they don't put people at the front.
Okay.
So I remember Wednesday, my first headline on Wednesday, like 30 people. So like 5, 10, 2, 4, you know?
Yeah.
It was not like here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
crazy.
Nightmare. And I remember I said, why am I doing that?
See, what shocks me with that, and that's switching gears again, is why people don't sit people properly.
I don't know.
When you own the business.
I don't know, man. They are tired.
Is it because you don't know?
I don't know. I never understand that. And then You're right.
You mentioned running the good shows. I tell people I need an elevated platform.
Yeah, I know.
I need a microphone and a speaker.
Yeah.
And I need a light. That's it.
Yeah.
But you don't need much.
No.
And then if the tables are not set up to the front, bring them to the front.
Yeah.
And then sit the people in the front.
Exactly.
That's it. It's not complicated.
But I think it is. And the same thing with corporate. Yeah. When you arrive there, the dance floor is empty. I'm going to play for the empty floor.
Exactly.
And all the table around. I said, what's happened?
Yeah.
Why you don't put the table on the... Oh, because we're going to dance after? Yes. So after, bring back the table. You pay me a lot of money. Now I'm going to bomb. And you will never understand it was because I play front of an empty floor.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Ugh, I'm so pissed. I force people, huh? I said, you put chair.
Oh, you have to.
No show.
Absolutely.
Or if last time in Ottawa I did a corporate, it was like that. Okay.
Yeah.
The stage was here. The stage was the dance floor was there.
Okay.
The stage is there. The DJ. So I took the mic. I was lucky. The mic was no.
Do you want a napkin for that?
But card. Huh? What?
You're slow. Go.
Oh, cool, because I did that.
I get it.
You're too fast.
Comedy, it's not. Yeah, oh, I'm super quick. Hey, with the easy humor.
This is So I went there.
Okay.
So I saw the crowd was for me. The crowd was like that.
Okay.
You know, so I bomb less. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, man. This is my last question before we go. You think the Expo are back?
Oh my gosh!
123. What?
Goes fast.
Well, yeah, I told you, man. I told you. No need. We don't need question.
No.
We just need, you know,
love.
Yes, exactly. Passion.
Yeah, there you go.
Like the Expo. I'm passionate. You think the Expo are bad?
Look at that. No.
No. Uh-oh. Don't. You don't believe that?
Uh oh. I don't know if we'll support it. I don't know if we'll support it. One or two games, good. I went. In fact, I just bought a Tim Raines autographed poster. I loved it. I loved the game. But there was nobody at the games. Maybe with a downtown
elements. Whoa. Nobody was at the game.
No.
Because everybody knew the team was sale. Don't put shit in the old story. Why you don't said in 1994,
Here's my question. We're
supposed to win the World Series. Why you don't go in the good souvenir? Then, you know what I mean?
Because that's it. Are we trying to live in the past? Are we trying to recreate something great in the city? Or are we baseball fans for real? That's my real question. Okay. And I don't know if we're baseball fans for real. I used to be a baseball fan for real.
No, I mean, it's because you protect yourself because somebody left you. Listen, you know, Mila, when the Expo get off, I banned the baseball.
Okay.
I banned the baseball. In 2015,
okay.
I went to Florida on vacation.
Yeah.
I saw a preseason game.
Yeah.
I said, oh, let's go there, honey.
Yeah.
And I saw... Da-na-na-na. I said, oh, it's fun. It's not the game, man. Eh? It's outside. It's the sun, the beer, the dog. And I said, oh, I have goosebumps, man.
Yeah.
I remember, oh, it was fun.
Sure.
But I protect myself because it's big, look.
Right.
People don't understand, look, oh, when you lost something for no reason, like your girlfriend left you for another guy, think about that. You have to protect yourself. So I thought I didn't. I said, I love baseball. I was just in too much in pain because when the Expo left in 2004.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I restart to love the baseball. And just the feeling. So when I moved to Toronto, because I moved to Toronto 2 years, I saw 50 games at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
And the feeling.
Yeah, it's great.
Just talk, chill, the 4 hours. Oh, I missed the home run. Tell them that. And re-talk about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't care
about the business. Me, I just want to know inside you, would you like the Expo back? In a new stadium, Griffintown, outdoor.
It's like, great for the city.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Do you think the Montreal Canadiens are back? They're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, you're hitting me on the wrong topics. I was a huge hockey fan, but when they went on strike, I got turned off.
Me too.
So this is the funny story. Because people told me, because I said, you know what? I love, as a kid, you never knew what the salaries were. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't know how much you made last year.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me, Kevin, how much did you on your income tax? How much did you make at the bottom?
$500,000 easy.
What? Yo, easy. Easy. But I don't want to talk about it. It makes me uncomfortable.
I know.
You
know?
Because then people.
No, minus tax, $30,000.
Well, exactly. But no, hockey, I never wanted to know about salaries. When I was a kid, I was passionate.
Me
I
too.
Loved hockey.
Chris Nyland.
Some of my best memories. Exactly. But then they went on strike, and I said, you know what? Why are they going on strike? They're depriving me of the game. And somebody said, if you don't agree, don't go.
Bobby, same thing with the baseball.
Kind
1994,
of.
When we are the best, they have a lockout.
But I never went back to hockey, and I still haven't. I'm a very stubborn person. I'm terrible.
So playoff or no?
I don't watch, but no. This city can go 25 years without winning anything. When we knew greatness and still go out there and support that team, I think it's crap.
Same years.
Suckers.
Then when you start coming in.
Exactly. 25
years.
That was it.
Come on, Mac. Who knows?
Leave the center open for about 5-6 games and changes will happen. That's my opinion. Don't keep supporting it. There's no excuse for this city to have a losing product on the ice. I don't get it.
Exactly.
It's probably more complicated than I know, but it's very rich. It's very wealthy. Or do you have a bunch of morons running it? Doesn't make any sense.
I think you have a good point. Okay, but this is my point now. Because now, for the last year, I always talk about that. Because I'm tired to the... I think it's boring watching a hockey game.
Yeah.
Because I don't have... the Expo here, I start to enjoy the basketball because for me it's not in our culture.
Yeah.
But because of the Raptors win the championship, I start to enjoy, this sport. And I know it's your favorite sport.
Because of my son, exactly, absolutely.
So you send picture with you and your son, yeah, see the Raptors.
Exactly.
It's a new generation, eh?
And that's another one, when you're talking big money, that's probably the biggest money sport of all. So yes. Maybe I'm like a hypocrite right now.
Maybe NFL, more the NFL?
I wonder. I mean, you're talking $35 million per season. 30.
Oh, you talk about player?
I'm talking about player salaries.
Yeah, you're right.
And baseball.
Yeah,
in the
you're
world.
Right. You're so right. You're right.
Basketball in China, it's huge.
You're so right. Huge. Oh, the NBA product is there.
Exactly.
After NFL, after MLB, hockey, cricket. Yeah. Or maybe cricket.
Maybe cricket.
Cricket, soccer, NFL.
Soccer.
Cricket.
Soccer
hockey.
Is up there. Soccer might
soccer,
be
soccer, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you love the Red Sox.
Yeah. I have a connection with Boston, so I'm a forced Red Sox fan.
I'm happy you're there because you promised me so I can buy two tickets off your seat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ça fait deux ans, I wait for that.
You're going to come down. You'll come to a game with all of us.
Okay.
We'll all go down.
Okay.
But again, the park is what's amazing.
Exactly.
I loved hockey in the old form, but maybe I sound like a dated old fart.
No.
I didn't like the light shows I like standing room, pounding on the thing, sitting up in the blues.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the light, it was about the game.
Yes.
And when you go to a Red Sox game, it's more about the game.
Yes.
There's the lights around, but you're in the old park with the crooked outfield. That's the best.
Yes.
Don't build me a park with a nice fence that goes like that. Put a bar over here with a grill in the front and then a cut so the guy can run into the corner. That's exciting.
Yes.
Don't build a generic money-making machine stadium. That's going to be boring.
Voilà.
Build something with character.
Yes.
Can we do it here? Then bring the Expos back.
I told you guys.
Jerry Park.
It's going to be a good podcast. Now you saw the real Kevin Gazer. This is you, buddy. This is you on stage at your best. Did you see how you move, man?
Yeah, I got
to
move.
This is why, man, I'm very happy you came at the No BS or SB.
I appreciate it.
You're a great guy, man. I love you, and you know that. I know you don't like when I say that.
No,
I text you, I love you, but he said, ugh. And he said, my father love you, but me, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I did send that. You sent a nice message. He liked it. It was a good Christmas.
Yes. So, merci beaucoup.
I appreciate it.
I hope I'm going to see you bombing an open mic soon, man.
Maybe here. We do a show here.
Yes.
Perfect.
Let's go, man. Let's go, Bob.
Thank you. We're out of here.